Good morning. What's happening, Marion? This is Pastor Craig, and it's good to be back here after not being around last week. Thank you for tuning in or staying tuned in if you were listening earlier. And I'm just going to take a minute and tell you how exciting my life has been for the last 2 weeks. It all started Sunday a week ago, so that would be almost 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks this Sunday. Started on Sunday a couple weeks ago, and I right after church, left in a rental truck and drove to Gary, Indiana, and spent the night in Gary, Indiana, and then the next morning I picked up a restroom trailer for my son's business and drove back on Monday and had to work Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I had a personal situation that required some immediate attention, and so late Wednesday night, I drove down to southeastern Ohio and was joined by a couple of other people, and we drove Thursday straight through to Arkansas. 868 miles to Arkansas. So I spent 4 days in Arkansas, got back up here to Ohio Sunday night, this past Sunday, got in late, didn't even get a chance to go home, went straight to my son's house near London, Ohio, and because they were in Gatlinburg. He had taken the family to Gatlinburg for the week, so there I was in London, Ohio, house sitting and animal sitting. They have pigs and chickens and cats and dogs, and he also has a business. So I've been staying down there this week, taking care of animals and keeping an eye on the business, and got up this morning, drove up here to the radio station, and After the 1 o'clock broadcast at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'll be leaving the radio station to head back down to southeastern Ohio to kind of wrap up some things that need to be taken care of that were the cause of the whole Arkansas trip. Wrap up some things down there and spend the night, and I'll do some work tomorrow, and then I should be home tomorrow night, and I will get reacquainted with my house, which I haven't seen much in the last 2 weeks. So I was just kind of reflecting on it last night, and I realized that since Sunday a week ago, I've driven over 3,000 miles. I've driven three different vehicles. I've spent the night in a motel. I've been in a friend's house. I've been at family's house, had some darn good meals, went to some super restaurants, ate a lot of fast food in the front seat of the vehicle I was driving while we were traveling on the road, shared a lot of laughs, shed a few tears, did a lot of praying, did some work. And so it's kind of been an adventure for the last couple of weeks. And, well, to add to that adventure, when I was in Gary, Indiana, at the start of all of this, I just packed an overnight bag. It was a big, kind of a big duffel bag. And when I was checking out at the motel, I did a dumb thing on Monday morning. Rather than making one last check of the room before I checked out, I had some other things going on, and I kind of got distracted a little bit, and I hadn't carried out my overnight bag. I had not carried it out to the truck. And so I checked out of the motel and drove off and took care of the business, picked up a restroom trailer, driving back to Ohio, and I'm about 200 miles from Gary when I realized I had not grabbed my overnight bag. And see, I'm not a traveler. I don't own a suitcase. So that overnight bag was the only thing I had. And I had to work Tuesday and had to work Wednesday and left immediately after work Wednesday to go down to southeastern Ohio. And I realized that not only did I leave my overnight bag in Indiana, I didn't have a replacement and I didn't have time to pick up something else. And I knew I was going to be in Arkansas for several days. So I've been living out of a big black garbage bag as my suitcase and a small kitchen white trash bag as my shaving kit and personal items and that kind of stuff. So I've been living out of a trash bag since a week ago Wednesday. But anyway, that's excuse me, that's all part of the adventure. So it's great to be here. Again, I've been traveled 5 states. And it was really kind of nice because along the travels, I got to see the St. Louis Arch. If you've ever been to St. Louis and seen the arch, you can see it from the road, from the highway. We didn't have time to stop and check it out, but I got to see the St. Louis Arch. And in Effingham, there's a real famous cross. It's a huge cross, and it's not far off the freeway, so we saw that. And I noticed when I was in Arkansas, which is in the foothills of the Ozarks, actually it's dead center in the Ozarks, but anyhow, in Arkansas, the soil there must be very iron rich, because the soil in Arkansas, or at least the section that we were in, is very orange. And in some cases, it borders on being like orange red or kind of reddish. So that was kind of neat, seeing the different soil. So anyway, that's my travels that I've been on for the last, 12 days. But it's good to be here. So anyway, what's happening, Marion? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have the answer. So tonight from 5:30 or from 5 to 6:30 is the Easter egg hunt at the Marion Family YMCA pool. Enjoy extra, get it? Enjoy extra fun in the pool. March 29th, that's tonight from 5 to 6:30. The cost is $3 for members and $5 for non-members. Stop by at 645 Barks Road East to sign up. And what's happening? It's the Easter egg hunt. Ages infant through 4 will hunt for eggs in the small pool from 5 to 5:30. You must have a parent in the water with you. Ages 5 to 10 will hunt for eggs in the small pool from 6 to 6:30. Eggs will be in both the shallow and the deep end of the pool. Children must be deep end approved to hunt for eggs that are in the deep end. The egg hunt will include golden eggs. And here's your chance to win a free session of swim lessons, a free week of summer camp, a free fall sport registration, a free 1 month membership, and there is more. So, and they also will have an Easter bunny in attendance. So you might want to check that out if you've got small kids. That's the Easter egg hunt tonight at the Marion Family YMCA pool. All right. Also tonight at 6 p.m., listening for toads and frogs at the Marion Tall Grass Trail, starting at 6 p.m. So it's at the Tallgrass Trail. Come out and listen to the different frog and toad species that call Ohio their home. And, you know, that might be a good chance to get an actual explanation as far as what is the difference between frogs and toads. Because I know a lot of people don't actually know the difference. And you know what? I'm one of those people. I really don't know what is the actual difference between a frog and a toad. I wasn't paying attention that day in science class. All right, so tomorrow, March 30th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., it's free, is the Marion Family YMCA Easter Egg Hunt. It's free and open to the community and starts promptly at 10 a.m., rain or shine. Free Easter bunny photo for all participants who come to the event. And see important things you need to know. Bring your own bag or basket. And they will have age groups. Age groups are 3 years and under, 4 and 5 year olds, 6 and 7 year olds, 8 and 9 year olds, 10 and 11 year olds. And that's the oldest group that they have, 10 and 11-year-olds. And the egg hunt will include candies, prizes, and here again, some golden eggs, like they have tonight at their swimming egg hunt. And on Saturday, similar prizes, free sessions of swim lessons, free weeks of summer camp, free fall sport registrations, free martial arts T-ball registrations, and they are going to be giving 10 free 1 month memberships. So they got a lot going on at the YMCA. So you might want to check that out. All right, moving right along. There are various Easter services at the local churches, and I would encourage you to check them out. If you're not a member of a regular church, there's certainly things going on all over the city on Sunday, so check it out. All right, Monday, April 1st, 5:30 p.m., and it is April Fool's Day on Monday. So everything I'm going to tell you is for April 1st is going to be true. I'm not doing an April Fool's joke. Everything will be true. All right. Don't burn your eyes out. Now, they have done this one before, and actually, this was rescheduled from March 4th. I'm not exactly sure why they had to cancel it, but this is rescheduled from March 4th at the Marion Public Library, 5:30, Monday night. Don't burn your eyes out. The Armstrong Air and Space Museum Eclipse 2024. Got to get the plug in for the eclipse. Experiencing the wonder of a solar eclipse is truly an unforgettable moment for so many people. But how do they work? During this hour-long program, spectators will take a deep look into the science behind eclipses and how they occur. Audience members will learn the importance of eclipse viewing safety and how they can make their own at-home eclipse viewing device. The total solar eclipse will be visible in Marion, Ohio on Monday, April 8th, just after 3 p.m. And if you're an attendee at the library for their program, you will receive a free pair of glasses on which you can watch the eclipse. All right. Also, on Monday, let's see. The A Taste of Improv. Improv class with Olivia Brazel. Brazel. It's April 1st from 7:30 to 8:30, and it's $12. And this is a multiple week thing. So enjoy watching Shovel City Improv. Want to make yourself and your friends laugh? Tired of being so stuck in your head? Join Olivia for a six-week course to learn the basics of improvisation. Learn a new skill for staying in the moment and hopefully find some laughs in between. Classes include Week 1, Improv Basics. Week number 2, Who, What, Where, and When Scene Work. Week 3, Games, Games, and More Games. Week 4, Long Form. Week 5, A Combination of Fun. Week 6, Chef's Pick. So these are on Monday nights. It started last week. I wasn't here. So this will be the second week on April 2nd or April 1st, the Who, What, When, Where, and When Scene Work. So if you're interested, it is $12 per class, and it does take place at the Marion Palace Theater. So if you want to get involved in learning about improv, that's the place to go. All right, let's see here. I've got multiple notes. Bear with me for a second here. April 4th. April 4th is a Tuesday night. Trivia night at the Marion Palace Theater. And it's at 7 p.m. And this is continuing through May. It had started back in February, and it's continuing through May. Trivia night is your passport to a world of laughter, camaraderie, and brain-teasing fun. Gather your friends, challenge your knowledge, and immerse yourself in a whirlwind of exciting questions and exciting moments. Whether you're a trivia master or just out for a good time, there's something for everyone. From heated competitions and thrilling victories to mouth-watering concessions and delightful company, Trivia Night promises a memorable evening where you can let loose, showcase your smarts, and create lasting memories. Don't miss out on the exhilaration. Join us for the next Trivia Night session and experience the joy of testing your wits in a thrilling and welcoming atmosphere. There are weekly cash prizes. There is a cash bar, and they ask for a donation for the cover charge. And that's doors open at 7. Trivia starts at 7:30. Okay, let's see. There is a craft show in LaRue next weekend. This is for April 6th, 7th, and 8th. And I know I usually don't get into the following week, but I wanted to mention this craft show because it's an eclipse craft show, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, April 6th, 7th, and 8th. The LaRue Community Alliance is hosting a two-day craft show and food truck event on April 6th and 7th. They will also host food trucks on Monday, April 8th. Porta-johns will be available during this time. No, I am not involved in the porta-johns, but I'm glad to hear that they're going to have them there. The 6th and the 7th, that would be Saturday and Sunday. Craft show from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and food trucks from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They'll stay longer if you need them. And the food trucks only 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The activities take place at 350 North High Street. there is some space available for self-contained campers. That's if you want to watch the eclipse. And of course, if you bring your camper, there's no water, sewer, or electricity hookup available. All right, and that covers what's happening, Marion, this coming up week. So I welcome into the studio our one and only Matt Morgan. How you doing, Matt? Oh, let me. It's this. You're on the green mic.
Yep.
That is 5. We changed that all around, right?
How's it going?
All right. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
All right. Did you miss me last Friday?
Oh yeah, it was kind of strange. We went straight through the top of the hour, or not straight through the top of the hour, but we went, you know, straight through until noon. It's weird to not have you on the Exchange Club.
It was weird not being here. So Monday is April 1st. Okay, everybody knows April Fool's Day. So did somebody ever get you like really good, or have you ever gotten somebody like really good?
You know, honestly, my family's kind of lame. We've never really participated in the April Fools.
Well,
I mean, like, so we've never like made it a thing to participate for April Fools, but like, I mean, like, there have been times where like one time my brother was like, Matthew, you should make me a sandwich, and I was like, you know what? I'll do that because like he doesn't like jalapenos, and we had like diced jalapenos, so I put like he wanted like it was a turkey sandwich, so I made myself a turkey sandwich, obviously, because I wanted a sandwich, which is why he told me to make him one. So then when I made his sandwich, I put jalapenos on it as well as I did mine, and I just didn't tell him. And then like, you know, 3 bites in, he finally hit the jalapenos, and he's like and then he, you know, flips out,
his mouth's on fire. Were you ever a witness to a good April Fool's prank that somebody else pulled on somebody else?
I mean, the best prank that it wasn't so much a prank. It was just like I was at one of my friend's house and he was asleep, and we had one of my other friends was there, and the friend's house I was staying at, he had an Orbi gun, like little gel ball things.
Yeah,
and it was like a fully automatic Orbi gun. And like it was like early, it was like 10 in the morning or something like that, and he had gotten the Orbi gun, put it on like fully auto, and then just started lighting this man up.
Ah.
I was like, you know, that was funny.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been funny if I was the one getting shot at 10 in the morning with Orbis, but you know, it was fun.
Well, my family was kind of lame too. We never did anything really for April Fools. Now my sister, I can only remember one time she did something, and she got me. But it wasn't something we did every year. And I don't remember anybody else ever doing anything every year. But one year, what she did is she snuck into my bedroom, and I mean, I was like probably, I don't know, I was probably about 8 or 9, which means she was like 12, and she snuck into my bedroom at night and took out my top dresser drawer, and then she like dumped all the clothes out, and then she started to put it back in upside down, and then she like fed the clothes in. She fed the clothes in and everything. I mean, she worked kind of hard at it, and then got all that in there. So then in the morning when I got up and I went to open my drawer, and at first, I mean, I couldn't pull it because it was like, you know, the kind of the clothes were kind of catching and stuff. And so I yanked real hard, and all the clothes came falling down on my feet. So, yeah, my sister got me good on that one.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So, just in general, any other pranks that you've been party to that weren't April Fools? But
you know, I'm trying to think. I'm sure I have, just not off the top of my head.
You know, I think sometimes there's like, you know, sometimes the things that we see like on YouTube or things like that, I think people take the pranks like a step too far in some cases.
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to be fun and they're supposed to be funny, but some of those go a little bit overboard. But there are also some really good ones, some funny ones. There was, I saw a YouTube, or not, it was, I think it was a Facebook a Facebook reel. Yeah, it was a Facebook reel the other day. And it was just, it had this gal walking by. She had on jeans and she had suspenders. And then there was a clown behind her. And he had on his suspenders. And he was kind of like, you know, imitating her as she was walking along. It was kind of cute. It was harmless but fun.
I mean, I'm trying to think of, I mean, I've definitely seen them on the internet.
Yeah.
They're everywhere on the internet.
And it's crazy what some people think of. It's like, how do they ever even think of this kind of stuff?
I saw the one, it was a YouTube video, and these guys went to one of their friend's house, and they were like, it was like, I don't know exactly what time, but it was super late, and man, I have this alarm that keeps going off. Hold on. Alright, so it was super late, and they went to their friend's house, and they just, like, knocked on the windows, and then they were, like, you know, duck, and then, like, run around the corner, that kind of thing. So they were just, for, like, I don't know, like, 10 minutes straight, they were just, like, running around knocking on different windows, and then just one of the windows they knocked on, they just, like, had built this, like, I don't know where they got it, but it was, like, a, you know those, like, fake heads that MMA people use to, like, yes, practice punching? Like, they basically got one of those and put, like, a ski mask on it, and then just, like stuck a stick through the head, basically. And then just, like, propped it up in the window, in the last window they knocked on, and that man jumped, like, 20 feet in the air. it was funny.
So you missed the first part where I was telling where I'd been the last couple weeks. When I went to Arkansas, I was, you know, you drive through, well, you end up being in five states. If you count Ohio as one and Arkansas as two, you travel through three other states to get there. But I mentioned that on my travels, I went through St. Louis, and I saw the St. Louis Arch. Now, have you ever been to St. Louis?
No.
Okay. So we didn't stop because we didn't have time to get out and, you know, the whole St. Louis Arch experience. But we were driving through, and where we drove through, you could see it. It was pretty impressive. It was really impressive to see the arch. And I was telling about how in Arkansas they have really orange dirt. They got high iron content in their soil. So, you know, when you look on the side of the road where it's bare, they've got this orange dirt.
Yeah, I mean, I went to South Carolina to visit my family a few years back. They live in Ohio again now. But they lived on a sand road, and it was like red, like orangish red sand.
Yep.
And like the dirt that they had, like if you were to dig it up, it was like reddish colored. Mm-hmm. And it's because it had a whole bunch of the iron content, but also there was a lot of clay in it. So like you could like take dirt and like squeeze it, and it would just be a ball of dirt then.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. We have places here in Ohio where it's really thick clay. It's really clay-y dirt. So, so that was kind of my adventures. I didn't, you know, we went through Indianapolis, and we went through through Illinois, down through Missouri, and so, you know, it was kind of, you know, taking care of some family business, so we didn't have a chance to do much sightseeing. But there were a lot of places that if I could do that trip again, I'd like to, you know, spend about 3 days doing the trip and stopping and seeing some of these things, which I would do St. Louis for sure, see the arch.
I mean, I'd probably, like, I'm sure, I don't know how many of you guys remember, but I went to a Green Bay Packers game.
Yes.
Not that long ago with, last season. It was a preseason game with my brother, them versus the Patriots. The game actually got canceled, like, in the third or fourth quarter towards the end there, because a player got like knocked unconscious or something of the sort. But sorry, I forgot where I was going with that. But anyways, I would go, like, if there was a place I could go back to and spend multiple days, it'd probably be Green Bay. Like, it was nice the one day we went there, but me and my brother got there the day of the game, checked into the hotel. We went to the hotel for, like, I don't know, like, we tried, like, two or three local food places, you know, because we got there early. Besides that, like, all we did was go to the game, and then we came back from the game. And then, I mean, at that point, we just, like, went to sleep, and then woke up early, and then drove all the way back to Ohio. So, like, I mean, we literally were there for the game.
The game.
that see, like, I was there, you know, we drove there, and then we had to take care of business in Arkansas, and then we drove back. So, you know, you drive there, you do what you got to do there, and you drive back. Like, you drove there, get into the game.
I don't mind driving, but it was just rough because we went all the way down to Green Bay, and then so we actually made a stop halfway through on the way down there. So we stopped in Indiana, like right on the edge of Indiana, and we got a hotel room there, so we slept there through the night, and then we drove the other 4.5 hours or so to Wisconsin that day, but then. At the day after the game, we decided that we just were going to just drive straight through because we didn't want to get to Wisconsin and then be dead before the game. So we decided that was probably the best option.
Yeah, we drove straight through from Ohio to Arkansas, 868 miles, and it was almost 15 hours. That was a long drive.
You know, me and my brother are thinking about going on a cruise for my birthday. My brother's got a whole bunch of airline points, so he was gonna buy my ticket with those, and then buy his own ticket, and then I was gonna buy my ticket for the cruise, and he was gonna buy his ticket for a cruise, and we were gonna take a cruise down to Cuba.
Okay.
Cuba's just interesting to me because I mean Fidel Castro was an interesting fellow. Like he built Capella. It's an ice cream, like when you think of an ice cream stand, like we think of like the Jersey, right?
Right.
But like they built an ice cream complex. This thing is the size of a city block, and it is an ice cream parlor.
Really?
I want to go there. He loved his dairy product. He got into an argument with a French diplomat because he said Cuban cheese was better than French cheese. And then the Cuban diplomat joked back and was like, well, I wouldn't say that. And then he got legitimately upset with the man.
I don't think it's that easy to get into Cuba, though, to just take a cruise down there, can you?
You can take a cruise to Cuba.
Yeah, really?
You gotta have a passport and all those things, obviously, and you probably gotta go through some kind of security checkpoints when you get there. But
Matt, where are you headed? Oh, I'll be gone for a week. I'm going down Cuba and have some ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, also, there's a statue of this cow, and now I can't think of the name Uber Blanca.
Okay.
He named the cow Uber Blanca because he was such a big fan of dairy that he bought two kinds of cows. Ones that were super good in the heat.
Okay.
And then he bought Holsteins from Canada.
Okay.
And then Holsteins are the ones that typically produce milk.
Right.
So he bred the two cows, the one that was good in the heat and the one that could breed milk or was good producing milk. So that way,
he had a heat resistant milk producer.
Yeah, but the experiment turned out to not do too well. Besides the one cow, which he built a statue of called Uber Blanca, and it released and it produced record numbers of milk. So he straight up memorialized this thing, and when it died, it was a whole big thing in the newspaper. Oh, by the way, Uber Blanca stands for white udder in English.
Well, gee, I. Thank you for telling us that.
Just things like that make Cuba I gotta go at some point.
That sounds interesting. when we were in Arkansas, we went to this restaurant. It's called Shogun. It was like a Japanese steakhouse. I don't know if you've ever been to them, but that's where you sit around on three sides, and they have the grill there.
Oh, and they cook in front of you?
Yeah, and they cook in front of you. You know, and that was really neat. You know, because the guy, he does all kind of fancy things, you know, tosses the egg up and has it come down on the edge of a spatula, and it breaks the egg. And, you know, they did a little thing with, fire. They took an onion and then started with the big ring and set it down, and then each one ring was smaller, so he had a little volcano there, and so they have water, and so he squirts the stuff in there and he sets it on fire and looks like a volcano, and then it's steaming and everything. So
I can't think of the name of the place, but there's a place like that in Marysville. That place is fantastic.
Really?
I would go there again. I just can't think of the name of it. I think it's Yamato's.
Okay. And see, not only do you get the show, because, that's part of it.
Yeah.
You get the show from this guy cooking here, but the food was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Every time I've ever been to, like I said, I think it's Yamato's, but I can't think of the name. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a little more on the pricey side because they cook in front of you. It's just one of those kind of things, but, it's good food. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd assume even if people didn't cook in front of you, people would pay money for that.
Oh,
food.
Yeah. See, that's exactly the way I felt. I mean, the food was so good, and the portions were great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, we didn't, not a single person we went with ate all their food. Everybody had leftovers they brought back.
I mean, we had, like 4 to-go containers, yeah. And there was only 3 of us. I mean, there was, like, so much food that, yeah, I mean, I would have no problem going there and paying what they charge, because I felt the prices were really kind of reasonable for what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would pay that for the food without the show.
For real.
So it was fun. It was a good time. Definitely good.
You know, if anybody who's listening has never been to one of those places, I suggest you go. They're fantastic.
I suggest they go also. Yeah, if you've never been to one, you got to go.
I think Iron Chef does that kind of thing too, maybe.
And see, I know that in Columbus, it's down in Polaris, down on Sankas Boulevard, there's a place called the Japanese Steakhouse, and I guess they do the same, do that same thing. I've had a lot of people tell me about it, how great it is. So, yeah. You got to put it on your bucket list if you've never done it.
Man, I love food.
I know.
Food's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, was Carrington here on Friday night?
Carrington was here on Friday.
So she was back?
No, she wasn't here on Friday night. Sorry, she was here Wednesday night. So.
Oh, okay. So that's 2 Friday nights she hasn't been here.
Yeah.
Does she still work for the station?
As far as I know. As far as I know.
Now, let's see. You had a Friday night show where you had a 10 o'clock show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And your brother was on the show with you.
Yep.
Did you do a 10 o'clock show last Friday?
Yeah. My brother was on then, too.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago, we talked a lot more about just the trades and
all the trades.
Yeah, and free agency moves. But last week, we talked a little bit about the moves that had happened, but not much had happened since the week prior.
Okay.
But we just talked kind of about, I guess, the general state of football. We talked about how... the game's changing to where, like, right now it's, like, back in the day, it used to be everybody ran the ball. Running the ball was the way to go. Smash mouth football. Old school smash mouth football. And then all of a sudden people were like, why would you run the ball when you could throw it for 20 yards every play? And then all of a sudden the whole game became passing. And now all of a sudden you see this whole big revolution to where it's back to running the ball as the main strategy, and then you use play action to, take shots downfield. So it's... we've talked about how, like, it was interesting to see the game develop, and also how people don't develop quarterbacks anymore. Like, you used to take a quarterback in, like, the first or second round, and then you'd let him sit behind your starting guy, like the guy, right? And then, like, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, when that dude retires or moves on, whatever happens to him, the dude who sat behind him can come in, and he always does better than he would if you just threw him into the fire.
Interesting. You know, I was just thinking as you were telling me that, you know, there are a lot of players from the past that are big names that were running backs. I mean, it was like they were the key of the game. But, you know, I can't really think of any, like, major running backs in the last 10, 15 years, especially, like, from every team. It's like every team had their star running back, but it doesn't seem like that now.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, because, like, nowadays you got, like, your Tyreek Hills and your Stephon Diggs and your, like people like that, and your Mike Evans, just the big-name guys, like the wide receivers. I mean, even in terms of tight ends, like, back, I mean, you got Travis Kelce now, and before Gronk retired, you had Gronk. But, yeah, I mean, like, there were running backs then, too, like... I mean, growing up when pass heavy was still the way to go back when I started watching football, but, like, you had running backs like Adrian Peterson, and he was the best of the best at the time. I mean, you had, like, before me even a little bit, you had LaDainian Tomlinson. He was good, but, like, I mean, you don't have, like nowadays you have Derrick Henry, you have Saquon Barkley, you have Josh Jacobs, even though he's kind of hit and miss depending on if he's injured or not. There's not a running back in the NFL who isn't solid right now.
But there's not an O.J. Simpson.
Correct. There's nobody like an O.J. Simpson.
And that's all we'll say about that. So are you have a show tonight at 10 o'clock?
I do, yeah.
And is your brother going to be on it?
I believe so. We're going to talk. It is going to be about football again, but I'm not sure what has happened in terms of free agency moves. But we're going to talk more about the draft and fantasy football.
Okay. All right. Ooh. So, okay, without going into detail, so when you talk about fantasy, when you guys are, if you talk about fantasy football, like what aspect of it? Because here's the reason for my question. Somebody like me knows absolutely nothing about fantasy football other than that people play it, okay?
All right.
And you can trade players or whatever. But I really don't know much about how it works. So are you guys going to talk about it from like kind of like a basic course where you person can like learn about it? Or are you guys going to be just jumping right in and talking about, you know, how good your team's doing or his team's doing or how you...
Well, I mean, right now it's the, I guess, technically the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. We haven't even set a draft date yet. Mm-hmm. But, so we'll probably just, it'll be more talking about, like, who we're thinking about drafting in terms of fantasy football. I mean, if anybody's got questions about fantasy football, I mean, we'll be more than happy to answer them.
You might want to consider starting out the first couple minutes with just like
a basic rundown.
Yeah, a basics course, so somebody like me can like feel like I'm up to snuff.
Well, you see, I mean, if I'm being honest with you, I don't know all that much about fantasy football. I just know a decent amount about football. Like last year, I won. Like we did a fantasy football. For work, and I won the work one. As a matter of fact, I lost one game, and it was because all of my running backs, like all my skill positions, basically running backs and wide receivers, just didn't do well. And that was, you know, you get three of those. Okay. Well, you get two running backs, two wide receivers, and then a slot, which can be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end.
Okay.
So.
I'm listening.
I mean, so when all those people don't do bad, that's basically your entire starting team. But also, me and my brother do the, it's called IDP leagues. It's called Individual Defensive Player League. Mm-hmm. So, usually when you play fantasy football, you draft an offense, and then you draft a defense. So, like, you draft a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, like, the whole offensive scheme. But then when you draft a defense, you draft, like, the Packers defense, or you draft the Patriots defense.
Okay.
But in the individual defensive player league, you draft defensive players.
Okay.
So you draft all the quarterback, running back, all the skill positions, and then same thing with the defense. You draft the linebackers, D line. Okay.
So there's kind of like two ways you can do it. Where your offense is all the individual players you pick, but your defense is just a team.
Yes.
Or you can do the individual players for the offense and then do the individual players for the defense too.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people do the one-sided offensive league because, well, I mean, simply put, because the NFL is like an offensive mindset league. Like, anytime a team plays another team and the offense does bad, everybody's going to say, oh, that offense was awful. But nobody ever stops to think, oh, that defense was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just a lot of things like that. Like, a lot of people will know the big-name wide receivers and quarterbacks and, like, offensive players, but a lot of people don't know defensive players.
Yeah. You know, that's a very interesting point that you said there, Matt, because that's one of the things that I actually kind of notice sometimes about college football, that you will hear how bad the offense played. But you rarely, I mean, you will hear, but you rarely hear that it was because it was a great defense that they were playing against.
Yeah.
It's almost like the defense doesn't get the credit. The offense gets the
blame. Well, I mean, also, like, the league is almost set up to make it easier to score than to defend. Like, even the NFL, they recently banned the hip drop tackle. And so basically the hip drop tackle is, and to my understanding, I'm probably wrong, but you just wrap the hips and then you drop your bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like...
Drag the guy down.
Yeah. And because apparently that kind of tackle provides a lot of injuries. But it's not like they're intentionally tackling that way. It's either you tackle the guy or the guy's getting free.
Right.
So, they make it harder for the defensive players to actually play the game of football, which in turn makes makes it a higher scoring game, which eventually I think it's kind of just going to turn into a game of basketball, where it's going to be like 116 points right. to 100, you know, like it's yeah. just...
Run down the court, score.
I eventually think that defense is going to be basically just like basketball. You're kind of just supposed to follow your guy around. You can't really do anything. You just follow him around.
Well, Matt, thank you for joining me. We have 30 seconds here. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, of course.
I'll be around next hour to talk with you. Scott will be joining us next hour for the Exchange Club. And then at 1 o'clock, I will be back here with Study His Word. And I'm going to have possibly one guest, maybe two guests. And we'll talk about probably Good Friday, Easter, and who knows what else. So thanks for listening. And we'll be right back in about 15 minutes.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents...